So before this episode begins, I need to apologize for all the noise you will hear. And also apologize that I haven't been explicitly Lutheran specific, I guess. But it is coming, and this episode is pretty much just a filler to get something out there. It'll be a part one of at least part two. But thank you for tuning in, and cue the music. Welcome back to the highly unanticipated, very unprofessional, and extremely boring podcast you always knew you didn't need, Learning Lutheran, where we are learning the distinctives of the Lutheran faith. Now, in this episode, you will definitely be hearing some background noise. My kids have some friends over, and they are being loud. But I need to get something recorded, so bear with me. This will be the first episode of the new year, I think. The last episode, I believe, came out on December 31st. And still been busy. Been hoping things would die down by now, but things have still been busy. And tomorrow I've got two birthday parties to go to. And I was hoping to record this tomorrow and not today, which is Friday. Man, that's loud. But I'm doing what I can to try to stay semi-regular, at least on posting episodes. And Lord willing, I can start getting them out once a week. But as of right now, it's looking like it'll be bi-weekly. And maybe that'll just be the way it is. I'm still reading Luther's Letters of Spiritual Counsel. I'm about halfway through now. I'm taking it slow, trying to digest it. But my thoughts so far haven't changed on it. I'm still loving it. I'm also reading through the Book of Concord at the moment. And again, I'm taking it slow too. I'm taking it slower than Luther's letters. And I'm also focusing on reading Galatians for the next 6 months of starting out reading the whole book in one sitting for the first couple weeks. I might stretch it to 3 weeks of reading it all the way through. Then I'll break it down to chapter for a week or two. And then I'm going to start getting into verse by verse, going through all the cross references in it and using Martin Luther's commentary on Galatians. And my goal is to be finished in June, maybe July or August. No later than August for sure. I'm hoping to be done. But if not, that's just more time in it. But this episode, I'm probably just going to talk about my path to Lutheranism. And to top that off with, my wife and I are starting our adult confirmation classes this coming Sunday. So I'm excited about that. The church we go to is small, so my family will add 6 people to it. And I know that'll be a big boost in their spirit and morale, seeing new people join, as it's small and mostly an elderly congregation. There is another young family whose daughters are a little older than my oldest son, who's 10 at the time of this recording. But other than that, it is an elderly congregation. So my path to Lutheranism wasn't out of anger towards my theological conviction. I wasn't feeling neglected or empty or whatever the case may be. But I'm getting ahead of myself. The journey was rather long, and I do want to start at the beginning. And by the beginning, I'm starting the day I was born. I was born on a Sunday, and my grandpa, my mother's dad, was the pastor. And they had service in the morning. I believe my mom missed the evening service. My grandpa still preached it, and he made it to the hospital after the service, and I was born late that night, but I was in church the very next Sunday and have been in church since then. And the only time I've really missed, I'll get into that later, but once I got to the age that I could read well enough, my grandpa actually would have me read the Psalms. And I think this is where I get my love of the Psalms from, is because I was reading them at such a young age out loud and in front of a congregation, which now I wouldn't agree with the practice of doing that, but I do think it was beneficial for me. I just wouldn't recommend doing that personally. But he also would have me lead the hymns we sung. And again, I wouldn't recommend it, but at the same time, I do believe it was beneficial for me in the long run. But I did that for years. And I remember wanting to be baptized and only so I could partake in communion, because that was the only way my grandpa would let me, is if I was baptized and had confessed faith. And so he one day I approached him. It was Mother's Day of 2000. I approached him and let him know that I'm like, hey, I want to be baptized. And then he proceeded to ask me all the questions, and I answered accordingly. But my motivation behind the whole thing was simply just so I could partake in communion, and I knew how to, at even 10 years old, I knew how to work my grandpa into letting me do that. I knew I could answer those questions right. So I was baptized Father's Day of that same year of 2000. And looking back, I know the baptism was valid regardless of my intentions. But I had the Baptistic mindset that it had to be a true, genuine confession. So I always was like, oh, you know, it really didn't count because I didn't have faith. I had an intellectual knowledge and understanding, at least that much of a 10-year-old could. And but I didn't actually have quote-unquote faith. And so did that for another 7 years until my grandpa retired due to my grandma's failing health. And when he retired, I would have been 17. And my grandma had a very severe case of Alzheimer's that required pretty much 100% supervision at all times. And it affected her very rapidly. And so he retired, stepped down so he could take care of her. But it was a small congregation, and there was no one ordained to take over. And since it was a small, independent congregation, the church just closed its doors. And by this time, I had met my friends from school all went to this one church, another Baptist church, in the Southern Baptist Convention. So I started attending there because all my friends went there. And my parents didn't really want to start going there. So they kind of church shopped around. But since I was 17 and my own little adult person in my mind. I've also got the baby in my lap right now too. So I might lose train of thought every now and then, and you'll definitely be hearing her. But yeah, so my parents didn't want to go. Nope, don't touch that. Don't touch that. No, let go. My parents didn't want to go, and they church shopped around, but I continued to go because that's where all my friends were. And the pastor was actually good. I liked him a lot, but it wasn't until later on that I realized that. And the youth pastor there had a great personality that also drew me in along with my friends. But my parents eventually did start attending there, but it was a little bit later on. I should have, looking back on it, stuck with them, because I do believe a family should worship together and not be separated. But at the time, I just wanted to be with my friends. And so at this church is where the Lord really started to work in me. And I know he had always been working in me. But it was definitely at this church that I really started to notice him working in me. And it was about 2 months before I turned 19 that the Baptist convictions got a hold of me, and I started really being convicted of my previous baptism, of it not being effective or right because of my motivations behind being baptized. So I approached the altar at the altar call that happened every week, and I let the pastor know that I was making this real public profession of faith. And so I am a product of rebaptism, two baptisms, whatever you want to call it, because I was baptized the following week after that. And my focus was inward in what I was doing and not in what Christ had done for me and us. The typical Baptist thought of baptism, this is something I'm doing for the Lord and not something that he has done for me. But I continued to grow with more of that Baptistic mindset and being a Calvinist. The church I was in, I don't believe the pastor was Reformed or Calvinistic in any sense. I'm pretty sure he was like an Armenian Baptist free will type. But I still did learn a lot under him. He really was a good pastor. He did step down for a little while due to some other reasons after I had left, but he is back at another congregation, and last I spoke to him, he was the same old pastor that I knew. While I disagree in theology now with him, he did care about his flock of the people underneath him, and he did have a heart for the lost. And in this youth group that I was in, we were very, very close, especially the core of the group. We did absolutely everything together, even things outside of church. We just did everything together. And I do think that was a good thing for us. But looking back, there were, as much as I I loved the youth pastor and his wife. There were some things that I definitely disagree with now, but there were some things that they did, like introduction to certain pastors or speakers, that I don't think was really best. One of them they did go back and correct and say they were never gonna show or listen to this person ever again. And one of those people was Rob Bell. That was my introduction to him, was in there. But thankfully they did say, no, this was bad, we shouldn't have done it. Another one was Francis Chan, but his stuff, questionable stuff, came later. And I want to say Mark Driscoll was an introduction in there. But I may have discovered him on my own. But from the time I was 17 until I was 21, I was heavily involved in this church. I played guitar. When I wasn't doing that, I ran the soundboard. I would help set stuff up. I did whatever I could, of having no knowledge of anything. And I wound up leaving whenever I met my wife, or who would become my wife, and started going to the church she went to, and it was a United Methodist church. And shortly after we met, we got married. I met her August of 21, and not 21, of August of 2011. I was 21. And we were married January of 12. And the church was, it was another small church, and I had no clue about anything of that side of the Christian world. It was really foreign to me. I viewed everything as being very popish, very Roman Catholic. It was my introduction to the ecumenical creeds, the doxology, the Gloria Patri, everything you won't find in a Baptist church. And in all honesty, my first thought of all of it was, I hate this. It's papist. And so I would just stand there, sit there like a statue. I don't think I sang hymns. I didn't participate in the Lord's Prayer, the saying the creed. I was just there and I hated it. And I hate admitting that, but that's what I felt first starting it. I was a Baptist at heart. A Baptist through and through. And the pastor that was there when I started going left shortly after because of how the Methodist will rotate pastors in and out, the itinerary style of preaching. And they brought in a female pastor, and then I really hated it. I was probably even more statue-like. And at the same time, I started working 7/12 about the time that she came. It was shortly after that she came that I started working those 7/12. And I was also going to school full time. And during this time of me not being in church, which is the only time I've ever not been, it was about a 6-month period, I had I didn't lose faith, but I definitely was not interested in being in church anymore during this 6-month period. But after that 6 months ended, I started attending regularly again, though it was hard. Not because I hated it or anything, but just because the habit wasn't there anymore. And I would go up to for communion. I still partook in it. They allowed anybody and everybody to partake, regardless of what sin they were in or their theological position on communion or anything really. I wouldn't be surprised if they let an outright Satan worshiper partake in communion. I would be very surprised if they said no. But I started during that, I would go up to the altar to pray and start asking God, you know, like, if this is me, help me understand. If this isn't me and this isn't biblical, get us out. And I prayed that for a while, every Sunday. And eventually, we got a massive hurricane that destroyed the church. And it flooded. The building was still structurally sound, but it was a massive flood that destroyed it. And everything was ruined. And so the Methodist hierarchy decided to just close doors for good. And so we didn't have a church again for a little while. We church shopped here and there. There'd be Sundays where we wouldn't go to church. Then there'd be Sundays where, you know, we'd go church shop again. But one church eventually offered my wife a job as the children's coordinator. And so we started attending there with her taking the job and officially joining the church shortly after. And it was another United Methodist church, which, again, I honestly wasn't happy about. But I'm going to cut this off here. Baby's getting real fussy. And I'll pick up next time at this second Methodist church on my route to Lutheranism. So Sorry for the interruptions and all the background noise. If you stayed with it the whole time, thank you for bearing with me. And I will see you next time. The Lord be with you.